Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Vedic Astrology Podcast. My name is Fiona Marks, and I am happy to be here with you again today for another episode on the podcast. You know that I love to cover different areas of astrology. We've talked about what is astrology, how it works. We've looked at some of the techniques of astrology, and I also enjoy interviewing astrologers. And today we're on topic five, a case study that I am combining with interviewing an astrologer. We are looking at a crime scene. Oh, it's a whole new case study that I have for you today. And I am blessed to be partnered by one of my colleagues, a fellow year four from my year four of the Asheville Vedic Astrology Apprenticeship Program. I'd like to welcome to the Vedic Astrology Podcast, Inquiry. Would you like to say hello to the gang?
Hi, gang. I go by the professional name of Venus Rising. As Fiona said, I'm just graduating from Ryan's Academy. I'm particularly interested in crime, even obsessed with crime documentaries. And so I proposed to Fiona to have a look at crime scene of a bank robbery.
Inquiry, you're taking us over to the dark side today. We're getting into quite a seedy world here. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the crime scene that we've chosen to look at today?
Oh, this is a really juicy one. This crime scene we're talking about is the Brinks Mat robbery, which took place in 1983. It's the biggest gold bullion heist in the UK's history, and much of the gold has never been recovered. So just to set the scene, in November 1983, at 6:40 in the morning, a group of armed robbers burst into the guards room at the Brinks Mat High Security Depot. Now, this is a depot under the flight path at Heathrow Airport, and gold, money, art treasures are held there in highly secured conditions prior to being shipped abroad or entering the UK. So the robbers burst in looking for cash and jewellery. What they found when they got inside was a consignment of gold bullion, which in 1983 was worth £26 million, which is, in today's money, over £1 billion. And so much gold was taken off the market that day that the price of gold worldwide rocketed. So even the robber's own haul of gold increased by £1 million overnight.
To put it in context, it's staggering, isn't it? The physical weight of this gold would have been staggering in itself, but the value, it's beyond comprehension for a bunch of armed robbers. They must have been just...
But just imagine they went in thinking that they would get like maybe £1 million, and they just fall over this gold, which wasn't even in the security vault at the time. It was outside the vault. And they decided to take it all. So one of them went off and got a van and they just loaded
it up.
Incredible. Actually, this turned out to be not so good for the robbers, because stealing the gold, walk into a supermarket with a gold bar and come out with, you know, your weekly shopping. So they then had to find a way to melt this down. And to do that, they had to go outside their normal circle of underworld contacts. And when you do that, you expose yourself to a lot of risk. And the result of Brinks Mat, which has been a cycle of vendettas and murders, which is continuing to this day from 1983 until now.
The scale of this haul, it does so many things, but one of them is it makes people very greedy. And as you said, it's also very complicated to turn that into untraceable cash. So they've got that whole problem. And then everybody wants a piece of it because It's an enormous transfer of wealth from inside the system into the crime world, isn't it? And there's another aspect that we don't necessarily talk too much about in the case study today, where this money's gone on to fuel more crime.
Absolutely. And I think it was responsible for the rise in ecstasy use in the UK. That the UK drug market was flooded in the 1980s with drugs which were connected with money laundering and brings money going into the system and being reused.
Yes, yes. Fascinating. So shall we... Is there anything more that you want to say about laying the groundworks of the case before we give the listeners a chance to visualize the astrology of the time?
Well, one fun fact is that many people listening might be wearing gold that's actually been melted down and recycled from Brinksmat.
Oops. Oh, dear.
So having said that, I think we'll mention other facts as we go through. So maybe you'd like to give everybody an overview.
Yeah, I'm going to try and lay out the chart because here we are listening, and I want you to, as long as you're not driving or cycling, close your eyes and try to visualize the chart. And of course, in the description of the podcast, I'll put in the relevant data for if you want to bring it up on your own software and listen along with us as you're watching your software. So we are talking about the 26th of November, 1983 at 6:40 a.m. And we're speaking about the location of Heathrow in London. So if you want to put in those details to your software. And for those who are listening only, let's outline the major features of the chart. We have a Scorpio ascendant, first house in Scorpio. In that house, the first house, we have Saturn at 10 degrees and 19 minutes of Scorpio. Right next door in Sagittarius, we have four planets. So the Sun is at 3 minutes 25 of Sagittarius. K2 is at 15 degrees and 54 minutes of Sagittarius, Jupiter 17 degrees 50 minutes, and Mercury 18 degrees 04. So four planets in Sagittarius, the Sun, K2, Jupiter, and Mercury. That was our second house. Moving through Capricorn, the third house, no planets. Aquarius, the fourth house, no planets. Pisces, fifth house, also no planets. Aries, sixth house, no planets. Taurus, seventh house, no planets. Until we get to Gemini, the eighth house of this chart, and we have Rahu equally opposing K2 at 15 degrees and 54 minutes of Gemini. Then in Cancer, there are no planets. It's the ninth house. And in Leo, the 10th house, we have the Moon at 17 degrees and 56 minutes of Leo. The 11th house of this chart is Virgo, and the 12th house is Libra. With our final two planets, we have Mars at 4 degrees 35 minutes and Venus at 18 degrees and 10 minutes. So that is the lay of the sky, not the lay of the land, it's the lay of the sky, Scorpio rising chart. Just to recap some of those combinations, in case you're taking notes and you want to just check that you've got everything where it's set out, we have Saturn, the third and fourth ruler of the third, fourth house in the first house. So third lord in the first house, fourth lord in the first house. In the second house, we have the second lord, the fifth lord, the eighth lord, the 10th lord, and the 11th lords all in the second house. We have the ninth lord in the 10th house. And finally, we have the first lord, the sixth, the seventh, and the 12th in the 12th house. And I'll just say two more things, giving you an overlay of the chart. We have the Sun, Moon, and Saturn in neutral dignity. We have Mars and Mercury in enemy dignity. And Jupiter is in its own home in Sagittarius. Venus is in its own home in Libra. And then the only thing I'll just briefly point out is the house cusps, that it's not a cusp in every house. So we have the first cusp in the first house, obviously. Second house, no cusps. Third house has the second cusp. Fourth house has the third cusp. Fifth house has the fourth cusp. In the sixth house of Aries, we've got the fifth and sixth cusps. Then Taurus has a seventh cusp. No cusps in Gemini, the eighth house. The eighth cusp is in Cancer, the ninth house. The ninth cusp is in the 10th house of Leo. And in Virgo, we have the 10th cusp, leaving us with the 11th and 12th cusps in the 12th house. So I'm hoping that some of that has settled into your visualization of the chart. And not to worry if it hasn't, because Inquiry and I are diving right now into this extremely exciting, fascinating chart. And I'm wondering if we should start in the first house. What do you think the first house represents in a crime scene?
From what I can see, the first house would be the place where the crime is committed. And then the first lord, which we'll go and talk about after, would be the actual victim. But so the first house will be the setting for the crime. And in this chart, we've got Scorpio. According to Yavna Jataka, Scorpio represents pits and holes. It also represents the natural eighth house of the zodiac, which is concerned with finances, loans, and essentially other people's money. And it's also the house of sudden breaks and changes. So we've got Scorpio as a pit or a hole. And the vault was under the ground, under the flight path of Heathrow Airport, but actually physically an underground vault with five alarms and 11 locks. So I think Scorpio is a very good representation of the actual scene of the crime. Something secret, something secure.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Scorpio is a great description of this crime scene. Because we've got, as you say, from Yavana Jataka, the pits and the holes. But another statement that is in that quote about the eighth natural sign in Yavana Jataka is prisons, also in Scorpio. And that's what it brings up for me as well, the locks, the keys, the guards, everything, you know, vaulted away, locked up. It's really got that kind of energy. So, yeah, our crime scene being in Scorpio seems to make sense.
Another interesting fact that we can see here is that there aren't any rashy aspects to the first house. So there's absolutely nothing to stop this robbery from taking place. And there are two points of annihilation to this house as well, which means that there were weaknesses. How I interpret it is there were weaknesses in the security system that the robbers were able to exploit. Now, we've got Saturn, the third lord, in the first house. So we have this idea of somebody coming in, going underground, taking something out. So the robbers were able to enter the control room and enter the premises because at the time the perimeter alarm was disabled because there was a changeover in staff. So this is, I think, the weakness coming from these points of annihilation. And then we've got a planet and a malefic planet at that coming into the first house.
Definitely. I'm really fascinated as well by what you say about there's no rushy aspects. This is just happening purely the way the robbers wanted it to go. There's no messing around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And before we actually consider who the victim is, because in this type of case where there's a robbery, very often goods are held in a secure premises, which are not those of the owners. something is being transported, it may be in a holding depot. So the first house and the first lord are not necessarily identical. So we'll deal with the first lord in a minute, but we've got Saturn, the ruler of the third and fourth houses, in the first house. So one thing that springs to my mind is that the third house in itself is a house of egoism and personal desire, but it also represents peers, colleagues, and teammates. So this could indicate gang membership, for example, but it could also indicate that there's somebody who's a member of the security team that shouldn't be there. But Saturn is a powerful malefic, and it represents theft and extracting things from under the earth, like gold from an underground vault. And Saturn in Scorpio will be a ruthless and unstoppable force. And this was definitely the case of the gang that carried out the robbery, because they were professional South London armed robbers, and they were the actual robbers themselves were very, very hard men.
Yes, it would have been a terrifying experience because, as you say, Saturn, it's not a soft planet. it's not gentle. And in fact, it's very cruel, very hard, very dry.
And very well organized. It's the planet of discipline.
It is, and patience, right? Things take time. And
yeah. And petrol was poured over two of the guards, especially the team leader, to try and get him to give the combinations for the vault.
Yes.
And he was in his life. This was very brutal. And the other staff were traumatized for a long time after.
Yes. I mean, it was torture, really, wasn't it? I mean, it's like flash torture. It was very fast. This whole crime lasts about an hour and a half. So they weren't tortured over a long period of time, but the way they were treated, they were bound, handcuffed, hooded, petrol was poured on them. I mean, they would have been in complete fear, which is Saturn, right? Saturn, so much fear.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's happening in Mars' house, you know, so we've got those two malefic. Mars is a sign of Scorpio, so Saturn and Mars combination there.
And Saturn itself has got very low Digbala.
Okay.
So it's going to show the very worst signs of Saturn, to bring out the most ruthless, the cruelest aspects. Saturn is aspected by the moon to create fear and insecurity, which is amplified by being starved in a sign ruled by Mars.
I really like what you're bringing in, that the third house is kind of our band of brothers, which, as you say, is a gang, but we may actually have here an inside job. Someone from that band of brothers is now in the first house.
And what the police actually found, because this was a very well organized robbery, the robbers knew exactly what they were doing and how to get in. So the police very quickly concluded that this was an inside job. When the police identified one of the robbers as part of the staff at Brinksmat, this person immediately gave himself up to the police. He betrayed the other robbers to have a lighter sentence. However, he's got to live in fear for the rest of his life, because these aren't people to be trifled with. Retaliation will go his way. He'll suffer from retaliation at one point or another.
Yeah.
And I think he's given a false identity.
It's not a position that I would like to be in, that's for sure. And I think that some of the Saturn qualities are also coming through in, you know, how we speak about Saturn as being dumb, and in that it's not the brightest, most intelligent planet in the pack. It's sort of, it goes about, Saturn's role is to go about all of those messy jobs in our life that need to be done. The way there's no point in questioning whether we should do them or not. They're just the tasks that need to be done, because Saturn has that role in the kingdom of planets. That's what Saturn does. So So we can sometimes call it dumb. And it strikes me a little that there was a lot of planning, obviously, to this robbery. And like you say, they got in so smoothly and they got through all of these, as you outlined, an enormous number of hurdles to get to the vaults. There's gates, there's keys, there's combinations, there's half a combination to one person, half a combination to another person. So there's a lot going on here. And obviously there's a lot of planning. But on the other side of it, perhaps there was not a lot of planning about what would happen after the situation.
No. Well, I think there was no planning because they were just not expecting to find that amount of stash. And then, as I said, one of them went out and just got a van and started packing in these gold bullion bars.
That's right. But regardless, even if they'd only taken 100,000 or a million of cash, which is what, you know, maybe they wanted a million of cash or 3 million, lovely, that'd be wonderful. I think the police would have been on to the inside job if you'd stolen a dollar from the police. They kind of say, hang on. And that's what I mean, that the planning on the front side was great, but what did they think this guard was going to do?
Well, he came over very badly in police investigations because the police wanted to know how a van could possibly get in. And when they interviewed the suspect gang member, he gave a very, very unconvincing explanation. He said, "Oh, I didn't see the white van entering because I was staring at the in the corner."
Yes, which is such a classic Satin thing, right? Satin's vision looks down. He's trying to convince the police that under all of this amazing robbery that's taking place, that he's supposed to be as shocked and as innocent as anybody. He's looking into the corner, not looking at what's going on around him. It was a great Satin moment.
But Satin's all about survival as well. So, I mean,
yes.
You know, if you think about Satin in the first house as the sort of bad apple in the barrel who let the others in, he'll just do what he needs to survive. And that includes betraying his other gang members at whatever the consequences.
Fascinating. All right. So we've talked about the location of the crime scene being related to Scorpio. And we've talked about having the third lord in the first house as an indicator for the inside job.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to say about Scorpio and Saturn before we move on?
Okay, so Saturn is also the fourth lord. And there are two aspects that I'd like to discuss here. First of all, the fourth house in Vedic astrology. And then the fourth house, according to the techniques developed by other people who are interested in criminal astrology. So going to the to Vedic astrology first, the fourth house is associated with one's ability to acquire wealth and luxury. So again, we've got the fourth lord going and extracting wealth from this vault. So the fourth lord in the first house is a Dharma yoga of power and purpose. So in this case, very much to obtain wealth. Saturn's yoga judgment score is very negative. It's minus 18.6. So this to me indicates that the robbery would have harmful consequences and would not actually bring wealth to the gang members themselves. And that's actually borne out by the facts because the inside man got nothing, and the other gang members who were directly involved in the robbery didn't get anything either, and they were even ripped off by other people who were involved in the handling. But one thing that robbers did, or some of the people who did benefit from the stolen gold, was that the money was put into property. Various people bought very large, ostentatious houses in cash with some of the proceeds. I think one of them had two Rottweilers, one called Brinks and the other one called Matt. So that wasn't a very, very subtle thing to do.
Classy that. I like classy inquiry. Classy, very classy. But as you say, they also invested heavily in the development in London, didn't they?
Yeah, but in the way criminal astrologers see the fourth house is it would represent the location of the stolen property. So you've actually got the idea, being the fourth house, that the proceeds would go to property in general. But in this case, we can look at it in a different way as well, because if we think about not just property in general, but a precise location where some of the bullion may be stashed, the fourth house in this chart is Aquarius. And although Aquarius is a water carrier, is an air sign, sorry, it's a water carrier, and it represents man-made structures for holding water, including swimming pools. This is according to a book on criminal astrology that I was looking at for clues for murder victims, where they might be found. And interestingly, in the documentary that I saw, the BBC documentary on the Brinksmack robbery, a family member of some of the gang responsible for Brinksmack said that, in his opinion, in his very well-informed opinion, a lot of the bullion is buried under a swimming pool somewhere in South England. So we haven't just got the fact that the robbers or the handlers bought property, which is fourth house, but we've got the idea of a physical location, which is very precise, being a swimming pool.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? And I watched the same documentary that you did, and I'll share the link in the description for everybody to go have a look if you would like to. And another match for me to the Aquarius scenario was that if you think about the man holding the pot, that's what Aquarius, the archetype, is. And the police did manage to recover 11 gold bars. And they found it in the property of the man that they were investigating, which I'm sure we'll speak about soon, but in a paint can. It was literally in a pot, you know, like in this guy's shed or backyard, and I just thought that was very Aquarius as well, that you would stash your the current 11 bars that you're smelting in a an Aquarius pot. So yes, we can find out something about the location of the gold by looking at Aquarius, and could be buried under a swimming pool, could still be quite some sum of gold bars, because how many gold bars did they take?
Wasn't it 600 or something? That
no, 6,000. So this is an enormous amount. And then I think the other thing we could say about location is that fourth lord going back into the first house, the poor old bank, or the gold bank that had, you know, traded this gold and were holding it in order to send it to the customers who'd bought it. So they ended up buying back some of their gold, you know, once it had been smelted and cleared. So we've kind of got, where did the money go? Well, let's have a look where the fourth lord of the location of the money went, and right back into the first house, the people that had been robbed in the first place. So it's quite fascinating, isn't it? Saturn's role here is the fourth lord. He's getting around.
Moving on. In criminal astrology, the seventh house, the seventh lord, represents the perpetrators of the crime. Venus rules both the seventh and the 12th. So we've got loss, a planet causing loss that is a perpetrator, and Venus is in Libra in its own sign.
Yeah, I know, and you feel for these robbers as much as you can feel for anybody with a sawn-off shotgun and a can of petrol pouring it over you. So, you know, the compassion only goes so far, but you feel it, don't you? Because here they are, the seventh lord, the robbers, but they're linked by astrology to the 12th house of loss. So, and we know that many of the physical people involved in the robbery, of which there were six, they have not benefited from this wealth. And then isn't it interesting that it would be Libra, the sign of the scales, you know, with that gold thing? I mean, these poor guys have got all this gold. They have to turn it because it's 100% pure gold. It's the best gold you can buy. And of course, not only can you not take it into Tesco's to buy your weekly shopping, but you can't even sell it to a jeweler or whatever. It's just too pure. Everyone would know straight away where that gold is coming from. So you've got to do your balance. You've got to smelt it and get it reassessed, reweighed, re-stamped, assessed by the Libra scale. So yes, the poor robbers have definitely involved themselves here in a lot of transactions, a lot of the weighing of the scales.
But what was interesting as well, because I mean, Venus is in good dignity, and you know, we said that, which is very curious, when the robbers themselves, or in general, especially Mad Mickey McAvoy, who was one of the main protagonists in this, got nothing and even was cheated himself of his share. But I think it's in good dignity because two of the robbers were jailed, but others were acquitted and walked free. Also, the robbery itself was successful, so that objective was achieved. And even though the robbers were in jail, these are hard professional criminals who, being sent to prison, is just an occupational hazard. And they probably weren't that bothered thinking that they were going to get millions when they came out on their release. So they were probably just for the first few years relaxing on their beds, imagining that, you know, dreaming about their share. And it was only later that they got ripped off.
Yeah, and don't you think, I mean, they would have been well respected in prison too.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Anybody who pulls off this guy, you'd be king of the pack.
People would be shining their shoes, bringing them tea and drugs, yeah, and things like that. They would be definitely, yeah, heroes.
Yeah. And we should say that the 12th house, as well as being losses, is also prisons and imprisonment institutions and being taken off the street. So that some of the robbers were, and there were, really were some convictions, especially when you consider that it's been very difficult to recover the stolen goods themselves. But there were quite some convictions, four or five, a handful of convictions. So that some of the robbers ended up in prison is indicated by the chart.
The main two, Mad Mickey McAvoy and I can't remember the name of the other one, they were jailed, but others did walk free. But if we look at the Bhava Yoga indications, the seventh lord in the 12th house, because Venus has got minus 15.6 score. So even though it's in its own house, you've got this success, but bringing a lot of problems. If you look at the Bhava Yoga indications in Art Science of Vedic Astrology, for example, you have things coming up like losses in business and partners causing loss. So you've got a lot of ideas of gang infighting. 12th Lord in the 12th, the negative factors would be prone to thievery and financial impropriety.
Yeah, it's a perfect description, isn't it?
Loss of resources, may be jailed, angry and prefers solitude.
Well, let's hope that was the case.
But we've also got the 11th and 12th cusps in the 12th house. So we've got this whole idea of loss and gain going together. What's really interesting in this chart, though, is that the first lord, Mars, is actually in the 12th house with Venus.
That's right. Yes. Tell us a little bit about the first lord of this chart being in the 12th house with those criminals. Tell us some interpretations we can take from that.
Well, the first lord Mars is in enemy dignity in the 12th house in Libra, and it's with the planet representing the robbers. Now, Venus is in the robbers, representing the robbers, is in good dignity and is in a higher degree than Mars. So Mars is overpowered by the robbers. There are no helpful planetary aspects. But what's really fascinating in this case is that the owners of the gold bullion was the Johnson Matthey Bank, who were originally gold bullion dealers, and then they became a financial institution who made very, very high-risk loans. So Mars is the first and the sixth lord of this chart. So Mars represents debts and obstacles. Anyway, going back to what I was saying about Johnson Matthey, is that Johnson Matthey Bank made very high risk loans to a small group of investors. Now, they were reimbursed by Lloyd's of London for the loss of the bullion. And we can see in the chart that Mars has a positive yoga score in the chart. But the year after the heist, Johnson Matthey Bank collapsed because of its reckless loans, and it caused a massive scandal in the banking world. And the owners of Johnson Matthey actually were imprisoned. So looking at this chart, as I said, we've got Mars ruling the first and the sixth house. So you've got debts and obstacles. It's in the sign of Aries, making it reckless and impulsive. And it's got the fifth and sixth cusps in Aries, showing that there's an intermingling deriving from speculative investment, such as trading on the bullion market, loss and enemies. They've certainly got enemies if you're being attacked by a group of South London robbers.
Yep, that is up there on the enemy list. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. And then they end up in the 12th house, as you mentioned.
Together.
Yeah, together. So we've got being jailed and also enormous losses. And we've got that high risk behavior because being here in the 12th house, it's full of secrets, really, isn't it? The 12th house. And this bank, I mean, it's the company you keep. The kind of people who are trading gold perhaps are also involved in other businesses, and you end up making loans to those people who give you the idea that they're one thing, but it turns out that you're completely debt exposed. You've actually lent these people way more assets than they have to pay you back. So I think the 12th house of secrets here, this poor bank has gotten itself, like you say, in over its head.
Poor bank? I'm not so sure. I mean, if you think about the combination of Mars and Venus together, this is going to make Mars become very greedy and very, very aggressive in its attitude to money making.
That's right. You're absolutely right. It's a very passionate combination, isn't it, Venus and Mars together?
Yeah. And if you look at some of the sort of indications for the first lord in the 12th house, suffers from thieves and secret enemies, causes loss to partners, doesn't understand how to take proper action in the world. And I think that's certainly true in this case. I mean, the whole banking system had to be reviewed after the Johnson and Matthey crash because it caused such a scandal.
Yeah.
Because regulation was so lax at the time, and there was a lot of gentlemen's agreements. And I think it was after that that there were attempts to regulate the financial sector more seriously.
Yeah, which I guess we're still battling with, because can you tell us a little bit about the Panama Papers end up coming into this story much later? This is a case from 1983. The Panama Papers are in the last, I don't know, is it 5-10 years? You tell me.
More recently.
How are the Panama Papers connected to this case, and what do they shed light on?
Okay, so the Panama Papers leaked a lot of confidential information in relation to this case. And what was discovered was that financial institution that's now closed down because of the damage to its reputation, called Mossack Fonseca, were involved in helping to launder the money, the proceeds of this bullion robbery. Once they became aware of where this bullion had come from, they nevertheless continued to assist in keeping this safe, confidential, away from the tax authorities and so on. Just very interesting that a lot of people and their money were acting, how can I put it?
Acting under the veil of the 12th house. I think this...
Absolutely.
The chart really gives us the answer there. And I think at the time when this took place, we're looking at a chart of a moment in time in 1983, there was a lot of secrecy, what we would now consider secrecy in banking and financial transactions. But at the time, that was considered to be privacy, that a person's money is their private affair. And how they store it and transact it is private and should be private. I'm talking about 1983, and that those institutions, 12th house of institutions, are not allowed to reveal the transactions of their private customers, because that's the business that they deal in, is private transactions. So even, I can't speak about the Panama Papers, but even clerks in the bank who are giving money out of these bank accounts may be suspecting things, but they are not empowered to call the police and say a private person came into the bank and took money out of their private bank account, because that's a completely legal at the time thing to do. So the 12th house here is providing the perfect veil for all of these transactions to come out. And I think when Lloyd's of London try to recover the gold, in inverted commas, you know, they're looking for some actual material, physical, heavy, golden substance. It was years later when the Panama Papers came out that they realized how much the money had been converted into Swiss bank accounts, and in quite a complex way, and then rerouted back into real estate investment. So those Panama Papers are the only time that the veil of the 12th house lifted, and we saw what a network had really developed around this enormous sum of money. We're talking millions and millions and millions of pounds.
Yeah. What's really interesting, because I think we'll probably come back when we talk about the second house in a minute, but the first lord being in the 12th house, you've got this idea of imprisonment. And actually, the owners of Johnson Matthey were actually imprisoned for lying about assets in relation to the collapse of the bank. And one of the, as I said, Mars also rules the sixth house, and the indications for the sixth lord in the 12th include overwhelming debt and being stolen from in foreign lands. And in fact, loans were made to a group of Asian businessmen, which were never paid back. So that's really very, very interesting.
Very relevant to this placement. First Lord, Sixth Lord in the 12th house really speaks to that, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, what's amazing about this chart is it's so vivid, and it's really reading like a book.
Exactly. All right. So we've had a look now at the first house, the crime scene location, Scorpio. We talked about the pits and the prisons. And then we noticed that we've got the third lord in the first house. We've talked about the band of brothers, the inside job, the brutal torture approach to the robbery, and how smoothly it went because of no rushy aspects. They just were able to implement their plan. But perhaps with Saturn being not the brightest card in the pack, they perhaps didn't think through their exit strategy. And now we've also had a look at what's been going on in the 12th house, because we have the first lord in the 12th house, and we have also the people committing the crime. The seventh lord is also in the 12th house. So that's already provided so much information, because we also talked about the location of the gold from the fourth lord. However, that is not the whole story from this incredible chart, because right next door to this first house of Scorpio, in the second house, in Sagittarius, we have some great players. We've got the Sun, we've got K2, we've got Jupiter, and we've got Mercury, all located together in the space of Sagittarius. What can you tell us about the second house?
Well, first off, the second house represents wealth and resources. And we've got in the second house the second Lord Jupiter, who also rules the fifth house in this chart. The fifth house, as we know, represents gains from speculative investment. And I think Jupiter as the second Lord and the fifth Lord is actually the bullion itself. So we've got Jupiter in Sagittarius. Look what's around it. We've got K2, which is a fiery separating planet. K2 will indicate criminal intent. It's less than 2 degrees from Jupiter, and it's a fiery planet, so the gold was actually melted down. Jupiter is also a very heavy planet, and it makes everything bigger. and it's in its own home here, aspected by the moon. So we've got this idea of something absolutely huge and weighty, just like the bullion itself. So as I said, we've got K2 right on top of Jupiter, just 2 degrees away, with the powerful aspect of Rahu from the eighth house, the dragon's head, the head without a body, representing greed and amplifying this personal ambition for wealth exponentially. Well, K2's fiery nature in a sign of Sagittarius, which gives you the idea of a furnace, is really important, because remember that the robbers poured petrol on some of the guards and threatened to burn them alive to get their hands on the codes to access the safe. Now, next to Jupiter is also the planet Mercury in very, very close conjunction. And Mercury's got a very important part to play here as the eighth lord and the 11th lord. So we've even got the eighth lord in the second house. And as I said, stealing the gold was the easy part for the robbers, because they had expected to find cash. Once they had the gold, they didn't know what to do with it, and they didn't have the skills. So they had to go outside their circle of criminal associates to find people who were capable of processing this gold so it could be turned into ready cash. And this is Mercury. In the United Kingdom, Mercury here as the 8th and 11th Lord, representing gains and other people's money, is what would be called fence. So somebody who's a handler of stolen goods. So the 8th house, as we know, is sudden breaks and changes, hidden resources. And the 11th Lord is personal ambition, wealth, and networking, so gang connections. And so the robbers had to call in professional fences, and that was a big mistake. Mercury here is in enemy dignity with High Shad Bala, and some of the fences did very, very well out of handling the gold bullion, because they stole an awful lot of it, and some of them got murdered. And this was the source of some of the violent feuds that have continued. But if we look at some of the Bhava Yoga combinations here, 8th Lord in the second house, prone to lying about finances and losing finances through battles, does not get the expected money from other people, too many surprising changes in finances. So we've got all this chaos going on pretty quickly once the criminal underworld knows that this particular gang have got 6,000 gold bars, because it very, very quickly became known in the underworld who these people were. So it wasn't just a question of the robbers looking for help to melt down the gold, but there are other criminal gangs trying to get at them and to take their ill-gotten gains. So other indications here, if you have the 11th Lord in the second house, it says easily converts assets to cash.
That's what they needed.
Except that Mercury's in enemy dignity, and they did have some problems smelting it down, I believe. But we've also got the sun.
Yes, tell us about the sun.
Now, the sun in this chart is the 10th Lord. To me, this represents the police. And we can actually look at it. The sun in the second house is at only 3 degrees of Sagittarius. The others are around 18. So the sun is way behind Mercury, Jupiter. So you really have this image which comes to mind of the police pursuing the robbers or the with the gold that's out of reach, that although they're on the trail, they just can't catch up with them.
We're watching it in front of us, these poor police, you know, running after the gold. And what I like about that is that there's K2 in between. If we take it literally, we've got the sun at around 3 degrees, K2 at just over, well, somewhere in the 15s, and Jupiter at the end of the 17s. So for the police, the sun, to get to Jupiter, they have to go through K2. And K2 is like the smokescreen, isn't it? Every time you see a node, you know that it's creating illusion and delusion. Things are just not clear. Nothing makes sense. You know, you can't penetrate because it's this smokescreen. So I really feel like it's perfect for the goal to be occulted, to be hidden, is to have K2 as the shield between the sun and, that is, between the police and the gold. Let's put a node in there. It's just what you need.
But K2 is also a separative influence, and separative in this case, in a tragic sense, because during the investigation, when the police were tracking one of the handlers of the gold, a policeman was actually murdered. And even worse than that, the perpetrator actually managed to persuade the jury that he acted in self-defense and was acquitted. And this is, so you've got this idea with K2 of a separation, that the handlers have got away from the police, separated themselves from pursuit by literally causing death. And the second house is a Marica house as well.
Yeah, there's an awful lot going on there. It's a great point, Inquiry. And then we've also got a larger Tadyavashta here, right? We've got the shaming, because when you have a node with a malefic planet, we get that shaming of Ashta. And I think there's a lot of shaming to go around. There's plenty, because we can talk about gold. If we think of the gold as being Jupiter, it's normally gold, you know, pure. We call it pure gold. And this was the purest gold. It was the highest quality gold. And here it is being used in a very shameful way. This commodity that is the reason why gold is precious or has value is because of its rarity and purity. And yet in this case, that's exactly it's causing the whole inauspiciousness or ignominy, whatever you want to call what's happening to the gold. It's not being used in a pure way. And if we think about whether it went on to fuel that increase in ecstasy that flooded London and the UK in the 80s, here's this pure substance being completely tarnished, used for very, very sad life outcomes for those people who have become addicted, and all of those networks that are going on there. But of course, we also have Mercury receiving some of that shaming. And I know that larger Tadyavashtas do not technically work this way, but I often find that even the sun here in this case is also receiving some of that damage. We could just say that there's an awful lot going on in this second house, and you can see how the police, if you watch these documentaries, you have a little bit of look on Wikipedia or you read some of the stuff that's around, the police were just, they missed opportunities, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that was really quite incredible was apparently 2 days after the robbery, a couple called the police in Bath, which is a town in southwest England, to say that they had seen someone attempting to smelt down metal, and the police didn't react at all. They said it was nothing to do with them, and it was only 14 months later that there was an investigation, and they found the tools that were they were using.
Yeah, exactly. And in the other the documentary, there was a similar instance where some of the money was physically being driven through Europe to try to get it into the Swiss bank account. And in Austria, I believe a car was stopped, and it had the boot of the car was full of cash. The back seat, when you lifted up the cushions, was full of cash. There was briefcases of cash. and bless them, the authorities, telexed, and that's what we had at the time, telexed over Interpol to the UK, look, we picked up this UK passport driver, you know, with consecutive banknotes. You know, we think it's a little bit sus. Here are the banknote ranges. And it didn't get filtered to the right people at the right time. And there was no warning flags on that money, and they let the driver go. I'm sure every police investigation has these missed moments. So, you know, we don't want to make too much of them, because at the same time, we do actually have convictions in this case. So, you know, there's both success and missed opportunities. But I think when you look at that second house, you can see why. There's just so much going on, and you've got to know this.
But you've also got this conjunction between, you've got the trinal aspect of the moon and all these planets together. So the moon's sort of really helping in some way or pushing this along. And interestingly, Mercury, Jupiter and Ketu are in Jyeshtha Nakshatra, whereas the sun is in Anuradha. And Anuradha means to come after. So you've got this idea of a pursuit, but not, it doesn't come to fruition.
Yes.
Some of the gold has been recovered, but the majority of it hasn't. It's either been laundered, some of it's under this swimming pool. But so you've got this idea of this real gap between the gold, the people responsible, and the sun pursuing, but not actually catching them up.
Yep. And do you think that Mercury there, it's also telling us something about the curse of Brinks Matt with this ongoing vendettas, the fences or the people that have been handling this have sort of one by one been picked off, haven't they? If they've strayed over their role and they've ended up siphoning off something for themselves, they've come to a nasty end. I'm just wondering about, you know, the eighth house of death, Rahu being there, Rashi aspecting onto those guys. I'm wondering if that's where the curse of Brinks Matt is also taking place.
Well, definitely, because, I mean, all the fences involved did in fact end up robbing each other. They didn't just steal from the people that actually went into the vault, but there was a lot of infighting between themselves, and so many people ended up being involved. There were five or six deaths. In fact, one of the deaths, which happened pretty early on, was someone involved in the Great Train Robbery. And I think the latest death was in 2015 that we know about.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to say when we were talking about the 12th house that some of the people involved are not in prison and institutions. They are exiled in other countries, aren't they? Like Spain comes up, but other sunny climes. So some of these murders have taken place of people in exile. So another indication of our seventh lord being in the 12th house. Is there anything you want to say about the Dasha timing?
It is the Ketu Venus cycle.
As we would expect. So Ketu, we've got here in the second house, being such a main player, separating the police from the gold. And then what did you say? It was Venus as well, the robbers.
It was the Ketu Venus cycle. So I think that's pretty hilarious. What about the moon, Fiona?
Yes, the moon, the mystery moon. Well, I have my theories, which I'll share. And then you have your series. But I do like what you brought up so far, that it really feels like the moon is having an amplifying effect. And if we notice that the moon is in the 10th house, we know that that means it was high in the sky. It's the strongest angular house, isn't it? Because it's right up there, very clear. If you looked up, there would be the moon right at the top of the heavens. And the moon in this chart is the ninth lord. So for me, the ninth lord in the 10th house, that's a Raja Yoga. This is a beautiful trinal energy in an action house, the biggest action house there is. So I think for me, the moon speaks to how this captured the imagination of the public, you know, the moon as the general population. And if you think back to the UK in the early 1980s, it was grim, if I'm right. You know, we're talking about Thatcher, we're talking about Falklands War, we're talking about unemployment.
Do you remember that song Bank Robber by The Clash? I think it was probably inspired by this robbery.
Yeah, because when you have such a grey, grim, heavy, real kind of period, imagine walking out of somewhere with 6,800 gold bars. It's like a fairy tale, you know, you can't even conceptualize.
I think despite the fact that it was a very brutal crime, I mean, these guys got a lot of respect. I mean, a lot of people were just who were maybe without a job or had a lot of financial pressures were like wishing they could find one of these gold bars somewhere, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit like Willy Wonka and the gold in the chocolate. Yeah, and in a way, they didn't kill anyone. And the insurance, it was fully covered. You know, I'm not saying there were no losers from this, but, you know, in another way, it's one of those crimes that Lloyd's paid out every loss.
But even the victim, Johnson Matthey, was involved in various fraudulent transactions, which is why it collapsed. But for me, what's interesting is, although the moon is the ninth house lord, the eighth cusp is in the ninth house. So you've got this intermingling of this idea of money and the ninth house being morality. I think that the moon may well represent Mossack Fonseca, the sort of institution, a very respectable institution from the outside, who had clients like the former prime minister's father, so on, actually acting in a very underhanded way.
Wow. All right. So we have taken a tour of this chart. And I'm wondering, is there another way to look at the chart?
You can look at it from the perspective of the seventh house, from the robber's point of view. So you read the chart starting with Taurus rising, which would be the accumulation of wealth, and Rahu in the second house.
Yes, that's right. And then we have first lord and the sixth lord. You know, you've got you're your own worst enemy. So you find out that the criminals in this case, when you look at it from their perspective, it's not the police that become their problem. It's their own. They're their own worst enemy in this case. Gosh, Inquiry, this has been dramatic betrayal. It's just stunning and shocking. Can I tempt you back to talk about another crime scene? Would you come back to the Vedic Astrology podcast and share another crime scene with us someday?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, until next time, it was great to have your company. Tell us what you think. And I look forward to discussing the next crime scene with you some other day. Okay, bye everyone.